We're going to finish up here on postmillennialism, and we'll just kind of run through this again, just a quick, just so we can kind of have our ideas again, some basic teachings, and we looked at that. We've looked at this a few times over the last few weeks, but the postmillennial is a positive view of the kingdom age. You have your different postmillennials. You have your Puritan postmillennial, which was not the chart we looked at. That's a Reconstructionist postmillennial. Most of them, they're going to believe, though, that the New Covenant starts with Christ's blood, but the Puritan postmillennial is going to believe that there's a church age and the last 1,000 years is a golden age. The historic Reconstruction postmillennial is going to think it's a gradual getting better from the beginning of the New Covenant, which the New Covenant began with Christ's blood, where the premillennialists, it doesn't fully go into effect until the Jews are back in his people, which is still in the future, according to them. Postmillennial thinks the Old Covenant's abolished with the New Covenant started. The New Covenant began with Christ's death. And they'll think that, and that's true. That's a true statement. They'll think that, but they'll... The millennium, like we talked before, as we'll get into later, doesn't quite start on their charts until after the fall of Jerusalem. But the New Covenant pertains to the church, not to Israel. Some of them hold to replacement theology, which basically just replaces the church it replaces Israel with the church, and the prophecies are now for the church. The Great Tribulation, postmillennials think that was a great period of tribulation on earth, already in the past. They think it was in the generation that Jesus talked to there. Egypt had a tribulation or a great cry that was only at that time. It wasn't with that. And if Exodus 11, it talks about how they hadn't had one before and they won't have one again like the one that they had obliterated them, I guess. And the Jews... exited slavery. So the tribulation, the postmillennialists believe, is talking about the people, a certain group of people in Matthew 24. It wasn't a worldwide tribulation. And so the context is of Matthew 24, the postmillennialists will say that it's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and the abomination of desolation was something that was going to happen before that generation passed away, and the Roman army was that abomination of desolation. If you look at Luke 21, the nation rising against the nation was the war between Rome and Israel. Again, on that great tribulation, the tribulation was on the Jews. It was a prophecy because they rejected the Messiah. The end that it refers to in Mark 13, Luke 21, and Matthew 24 is the end of the Old Covenant. That's what the postmillennialists will say. The last days of Hebrews 1 is like the last days of the Old Covenant. The second coming of man, the coming of the Son of Man, is Jesus through the Roman army to destroy the Jews. So you'll have, that's where you have your full preterist or partial preterist. The full preterist thinks that there's no coming, like there's no prophecy left to be fulfilled. The coming of Jesus was only coming on Jerusalem. The partial preterist thinks there's still coming of a second coming of Jesus, but the coming of the Son of Man referred to in Matthew 24 is him coming on the Jews. Now, you'll have the postmillennialists and all millennialists that will believe those, but most postmillennialists are nowadays the Reconstruction, which thinks it's a gradual getting better, and they mostly think, I don't know what the percentage would be, but you have them kind of split, I guess, of them full preterist and partial preterist. So in Revelation then, again, that's referring to Israel. They mourned, because it refers there as all the tribes of the earth will mourn, Revelation 1:7. That's referring to when Rome came and destroyed Israel. The tribulation was cut short for the sake of the church. The tribulation in Revelation is the same tribulation in Matthew 24. And the Christians who keep the faith will be saved. Keep the faith to the end will be saved. The end of that time period. They believe Satan is bound now, and he is bound at the beginning of the millennium or the 1,000 years. And that's where you get all these words: amillennial, postmillennial, premillennial. Whether you think the return of Christ is post-millennium or you think that the return of Christ is pre-millennium, or if you, all millennials think it's post, the return is post-millennium as well, but they're just a different, they don't think that there's a physical millennium. But the disagreement happens as when that bounding happens, and the post-millennialists will talk about it being Satan being bound when Jesus died. Even though he is bound, that really doesn't fully take effect until AD 70. Now, those words aren't specifically used, but in all the charts that I've seen, the millennium doesn't start until after the fall of Jerusalem. And again, we kind of explained some of that. You can see the chart there again there. You see the millennium starting right after the fall of the Great Tribulation and the destruction of Jerusalem, and that's when the reign of Christ begins, and it's when Satan is bound. So he was bound by the death, he was bound because of the death, but he wasn't bound when the new covenant completely started. And I know that's a little bit confusing, but that's kind of how they have their timeline set up. So the millennial reign of Christ, I think it starts, like we mentioned, after the fall of Jerusalem, and some reasons why is that prior to Christ's death, God had not protected the nations. In Psalm 147, Amos 3 talks about that God only chose Israel. Luke 4, when Satan tempted Jesus, he offered him the nations, and they were under his control, and that's why he could offer them. Satan's bound by Jesus. In Matthew 12, it talks about that. Jesus freed the rest of mankind. The kingdom is extended to the rest of mankind. All the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. Basically, the gospel is going out there is what they're going to say. The reign, Jesus is on his throne now. The millennium has begun. All the gospel is going to all the nations. And so because the Jews were still kind of in the way, I think that's my conclusion of why they think that their charts have the millennium starting after the fall of Jerusalem. It hadn't fully went out to the nations yet, even though it did. But we'll talk about that later another time. So that's why they don't show it till after the fall of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. They believe the kingdom of Christ is now. We are in the gospel of the kingdom. The salvation is the kingdom is not with visible glory. It's not a physical with physical armies. It's built on truth. It's built on righteousness, and the kingdom would gradually grow over time. The increased manifestation, which leads us into that, the postmillennialists think that the majority of the world will become Christians before the return of Christ. Okay, that's the opposite of amillennial or premillennial. They think that we're degrading. The postmillennialists think that we are gradually moving up. Even though there's dips throughout that time, it's gradually moving up. There's no end to the increase of the government, Isaiah chapter 9, and that's what the postmillennial will use that, is that there's no end to the increase, so it will keep increasing. Psalm 47, God is king over all the earth, and the princes of the people or the Gentiles have assembled themselves. The dream of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 about that stone that filled the whole earth. Again, postmillennial, it's a physical increased manifestation of the kingdom in the millennium. It's physically on earth. That kingdom was established during the days of the Roman kings, and that's why that's where you have that chart begin. As opposed to premillennial, they think the kingdom, earthly kingdom, is still in the future. Christ will cut off the war; there would be peace on earth. That's why you got the majority of the people becoming Christians under their belief. That's what they're going to say. The increasing is like a wheat field growing, or like a mustard seed, or like leaven that's in that lump of dough. It talks about in those parables of the kingdom in Matthew 13 there. So this happens over time in the kingdom age or the church age. Now, this is, again, majority of postmillennialists now are the reconstructionists, where it's gradually happening. The old time postmillennial, you had your church age, and the last 1,000 years was the gradual increasing. And so there's a few differences there, but this is kind of the main idea through all of that. So any questions before we continue on here then with this new stuff today? Okay, so we'll move on then to the non-imminent return of Christ. Does anybody know what that word means?
Not soon.
What's that?
Not soon.
Not soon. Okay, so the post-millennials do not believe that Christ will return soon. Okay, and part of that is, all millennials believe that the second coming of Christ is imminent. Premillennials think that the rapture is imminent. But the postmillennialists will think that it is not. Let's turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Someone want to read 18 through 20, please.
Teaching to keep all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Okay, so they believe that it's not imminent because all the nations have to be discipled first. Okay, and then you got Romans chapter 11, if you turn over there. Another reason why it's not just the nations, but it's also the Jews. There's a widespread conversion of the Jews. If we read it, this is a longer read. Verse 15 through 27 of Romans chapter 11, please.
For if their rejection be the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? And if the first piece of dough be holy, the lump is also. And if the root be holy, the branches are too. But some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and are grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more shall these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? But I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And thus all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins.
Okay. So you see there are some things like in verse 15 where it talks about their reconciliation. If their rejection will be reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be? So there's still, a postmillennialist will still think that they're going to accept them later. In verse 25, the partial hardening has happened to Israel until the Gentiles come in. That's why you have your widespread, according to them, the widespread gospel manifestation of the kingdom, or the increasing of the kingdom, that will spread to the Gentiles, and the nations will become Christian. And then towards the end, if we look at the chart again, which we will at the end here, but the chart they have at the end of that increase, that's where the returning of the Jews returns after the Gentiles have come in. So they don't think that all of the nations, all of the people will be Christian, but most of them. The majority of the people, a good portion of them, not just the majority of 51%, but you know, in your high percentage, where there's very few people who are not Christian, is what the postmillennialists would think. So that's why the non-intimate belief is there, that all the nations have to be discipled first, and then the Jews have to be a widespread conversion of the Jews will happen before Christ returns, and that's why that stuff hasn't happened yet. That's why they don't think that it'll happen. The return of Christ will happen very soon, even though they still think that the return is post-millennial. It still is not intimate, imminent. Where the premillennialists and the amillennialists think that the premillennialists think the rapture is imminent, and the amillennialists think that the second coming is imminent. Postmillennialists don't think that. Continuing on the non-intimate return, in Matthew chapter 25, let's turn over there. Matthew 25. Someone want to read verse 5, please. Okay, so verse 5, it talks about the bridegroom being delayed. Okay, so it's not an imminent return. It's a delayed return. Okay, a few verses later, chapter 25, verse 14 and 19. If someone wants to read that, please. Okay, so that same parable there is, after a long time, he went on a journey and then returned after a long time. Again, but they'll use these passages for the non-imminent return of Jesus. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Someone read verse 7, please.
He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority."
Okay, so kind of a stretch here still. Again, like all that is, but I don't agree with this belief there. But again, we're just going through their passages that they'll use here. Verse 7 is used that there's times and epochs, or seasons is what they'll say. Times and seasons. There's multiple, like it's a non-soon return, non-imminent return. Even though the context doesn't quite fit that, but it still is a passage, and not in my opinion anyway, that the context is talking about the kingdom being established. But they're going to say that Jesus referring to times and epochs means that there's going to be times and epochs. Okay, there's going to be seasons in the future. So there's a long time going on a long journey. The bridegroom delayed his coming, and the people got drowsy, and so on. And so the idea that it's going to be a long time. In verse 2 Timothy chapter 3, turn over there. 2 Timothy, I want to read verse 1, please.
But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come.
Okay, so now this doesn't completely fit the postmillennial belief, except for this is a passage. This isn't something that I picked up. This is actually a passage that was used by a Reconstruction postmillennial. And why it's used, I mean, if you really look at it, it's a little bit like premillennialists, why they use some of the passages they use doesn't really fit everything. It talks about the last days, and this isn't talking about the fall of Jerusalem, so there's some last days that there's going to maybe be some difficult times, and it's in the future, and there's things that Paul wrote to Timothy, according to them, that it's going to be somewhere in the future, or like last times, okay, which doesn't necessarily fit what they're trying to point here, and doesn't fit that their belief, because they don't necessarily believe there's difficult times when the return is, because I think that there's increased manifestation, so I'm not quite sure why this passage is used, other than to take the term last times is why it was on the article that I read of this guy's, and so doesn't really make sense except for that there's going to be times and epochs, or there's going to be seasons, there's going to be last times that maybe is a little bit more difficult. I mean, and they're going to refer to that the loosing of Satan, which we'll get to in a little bit here. There's going to be maybe some difficult times, like towards the end, but they're still going to be mostly Christian. But
so they don't believe the times are upon us.
No. Yeah, it is a little. I was the one I didn't know that they really believed, I guess. But it does make sense with if you're thinking them being gradual. You know, really, you couldn't say that the nations are, right now, you couldn't say the nations are Christianized, right? Because they're not. So it does make sense if it's still a non-imminent imminent return. If it's not quickly, that makes sense why they think that. It's still a little bit tough. There's still some verses that they'll have to use a little bit out of context, I think. But and like this one here in 2 Peter chapter 3 is one. It's kind of a stretch for me. But again, we'll just see what they say here. 2 Peter chapter 3. So I want to read verse 4 through 9, please.
But do not let the one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some consider slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance.
Okay, so how they're going to use this passage here, and I actually... I just took the passage from there, from that article, where he said 4 through 9. And so there, verse 8 is what this is kind of used for, that a thousand years, a day is like a thousand years. And I guess kind of what I gathered from the article is in the context that they are, that even though... And maybe this is where it talks about maybe Jesus coming soon. Well, it could be coming soon, but to God, a thousand years to us is like a day to God. So it could be soon, but it could be a thousand years. And, which I'm not saying I disagree completely with that point, except for the fact that I think that the return can still be imminent, because what this is saying to me is that it's just time is nothing to God. You know, a thousand years is like a day is like a thousand years, but they're using it as a day is like a thousand years. A day to God is like a thousand years to us. So maybe he comes in 7 days, it should be 7,000 years, so it's not an imminent return. Okay. Now, I just for disclosure, I took this from an article, and I wrote these verses down in the order that the article had them in. Okay, so this is not my arranging of any of these. This is how the guy had them in his article. So the non-imminent return is like, even though it might be a day to God, it's a thousand years to us, and so it's not something that returns. He'll return soon because the nations are not Christianized yet. The Jews haven't returned yet, and so it's still in the future, and that gradual increasing is still going on, according to post-millennials. Anybody have any comments on that before?
Just kind of a different look at it, I guess. You know, Kyle mentioned too, you know, kind of joking about signs of the times, and mm-hmm. there's always been people trying to, you know, or thinking they are predicting Christ's return. And in a sense, by them saying it's not going to be for a long time, they're kind of predicting it as well.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. they're just saying it's not going to be soon, mm-hmm. it's going to be a long time from now.
Right.
And that mindset is kind of, can be kind of scary too, because then what's the urgency?
Right.
Then you're just like, well, it's not going to be for a long time anyway.
Right.
And to me, Scripture speaks, especially the times and epochs, is to me speaks more to we don't know when it's going to be.
Right.
We don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or 10,000 years or
right.
anywhere in between. So I think predicting whether it's soon or whether it's a long ways away is both mm-hmm. I think the dangers are equal, I guess.
Right. Yeah, and I think
the mindset that we just need to be prepared and not worry about when that day is going to be, because we don't know.
Right. Yeah, we're always prepared, and you could say, well, they still have to worry about dying. Yes, that's true, but
right.
still, it doesn't mean that, like the idea of that still doesn't quite fit what the Scripture is saying. When I see the Scripture saying,
that's
anyway,
what I think,
you know,
yeah. with that kind of prediction, basically, they're never going to be wrong,
right?
Because they can just keep pushing it. Well,
right.
it's going to be a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're predicting it's going to be in 2028. And it doesn't happen, then well, then you're wrong.
Right.
But if you just keep saying, well, it's going to be a long time from now, you can always follow that belief.
Right.
Because you can just basically keep kicking it down the road.
Right. Right. And you can go on shifts where postmillennialism was kind of prominent before the world wars, and then it kind of died off, and premillennialism took over. And, you know, when that dies off, if Jesus doesn't return under these last terrible times here, that's eventually going to die down, and then
right.
your post-millennial is going to come in. Well, see, it's getting better now. You're in that
right.
upstage, you know. And that's where you have your reconstruction post-millennial, that we had your original post-millennial was your church age, and then the last 1,000 years, which that, you know, that can make some sense. I'm not saying I like the idea, but versus the historical the Reconstruction post-millennial, where they're going to think it's up and then a little dip and then up and a little dip, kind of gradually going, which that can make sense in some ways too. Both of them are still, just like premillennialists, are still based on a physical mindset where you have to have your premillennialists have to be something. It's all about how bad it's getting here, and it's getting close to the end because the times are getting bad. Post-millennial, it has to be getting good. Jesus can't return because the world has to be Christianized before he returns, and the Jews have to come, have to be coming back, which you still can kind of predict the day too, like you're saying,
right.
is because when the Jews start returning, and there's this widespread conversion of the Jews, well, Jesus is returning soon. And that's what they're holding to that. And so it's still, both of them are based on a physical mindset, because it has to be done something physically, and that's where you're going to be off still, because it's based upon that. And even though it might seem like, well, it's reasonable to think that. You know, that if you're premillennialist and you're physical minded, it's reasonable to think that, well, the times are getting really bad, so it's, you know, the last times mockers will come. Well, I guess that could be, you know. Or if you're postmillennialist, you can, Jesus is not going to return soon because we're not widespread Christian in the world yet. But you're still focused on that. Either way, it's still, you're using a physical, so what you see physically to make your scripture make sense. Well, it makes sense, I guess, because the bridegroom delays, or the master goes on a journey for a long time. Well, that makes sense. It's not imminent then. But both of them can be wrong. They're still based on physical mindsets. And if you look at what the scripture says and have a spiritual mindset, I think we're going to see when we get into that portion of this study in a few weeks, that we're going to see that a spiritual mindset and how God views it, where it can be a long time, but it can be imminent. It can be tough on earth, but it still can. Your kingdom still can grow and be growing through all of that. And the only way that can happen is if you have a spiritual mindset, not a physical mindset.
Basically, each of those passages they used for that, they missed the whole point of each of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They came back.
Mm-hmm.
The focus
yeah.
wasn't on the long journey. It was, the focus was that the guys weren't knew what they should be when he returned.
Right.
But all the way through, mm-hmm. it's like, let's just take part of it out and
right.
lose the whole meaning of the variable
mm-hmm.
to make this idea.
Mm-hmm. Let's take the first example of a day is like 1,000 years, but not the second example. 1,000 years is like a day, you know, or whatever it is. But yeah, and you really, like in Acts 1, that context isn't talking about his return. It's talking about when is the kingdom going to be. And he's saying, it's not for you to know those things, basically what he's saying. They're missing the point, like you said. Okay, so continuing on with kind of getting close to closing up here, post-millennial, at the end of the millennial, after the world is mostly Christianized, the Jews return, a widespread return of Jews returns to Christ, conversion to Christ, then you have Satan being loosened and the final judgment. So I guess I could have posted that bullet up there, but after the increased manifestation of the kingdom or the golden age, whatever post-millennialist view you have, whether it's the church age in the last 1,000 years of the golden age, or whether you have your increased manifestation of the kingdom, Satan will be freed from his prison. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Someone want to read verse 7 through 9 and just the... go ahead and read 7 through 9 and we'll talk about it.
When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they come up, and they came up to the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them.
Yeah. So the original post-millennial will think that you have your church age and your last 1,000 years is the golden age, or the millennium. Your historic, or your reconstruction post-millennial is that the millennium is not a literal 1,000 years and it gradually gets better, so the 1,000 years there is completed. Either way, after that 1,000 years, whatever post-millennial view there is, there after the 1,000 years, Satan's released. He's not bound anymore. And he can deceive the nations, the minority of the nations who haven't obeyed the gospel. It's not a big, broad majority that he is influencing there. It's a minority, and he'll deceive them at that time. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is where the belief of the post-millennial return there is after the millennium, after the church age or after the golden age, whatever type of post-millennial there is. In verse 16 and 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay, so after this happens, when Satan's released and they're devoured, it's a picture of, and then the church is taken, all the Christians are taken to heaven then, and that's why the tends to term post-millennial. Okay, the post-millennial is after the millennium. Not just all the Christians are taken to heaven, but everyone. Let's turn to John chapter 5. Everyone is not taken to heaven, but everyone is resurrected. John 5, verse 28 and 29.
Please. Remember all of this, for our hour is coming, which all who are in the tomb will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to resurrection of death.
Okay, so post-millennial beliefs that after that millennium man, Satan's released, you know, not just the Christians are secretly raptured as the premillennialists will, but all those who are in the tombs, both righteous and unrighteous, will resurrect for judgment. And then in First or Second Peter chapter 3, if you turn over there, Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Okay, so the Christ's return will end history. Okay, and so the so that that their idea again there is that you have that increase there as we pull up this chart again here, and then the Jews there, Satan's rebelled, and then Jesus' second coming and the resurrection and judgment of all men, and that will end history. The earth will be destroyed. So I don't necessarily disagree with some of that, but that's what they're that's how they'll end their basic idea of the eschatology topic, I guess. And so they think that when Christ returns, unlike premillennialists, Christ returns secretly, and then you establish your rapture, your tribulation in 1,000 years. Postmillennial is Christ returns after the millennium. When he returns, then it will end history, which is similar to amillennial, but we'll get into that next week. But that's what the postmillennialists believe, as he returns after and the earth is all burnt up. Any comments or questions? Or
is there any thoughts in any of the stuff, you know, the period of time there when Satan is loosed? Does anybody have any thoughts on how long that's going to be? Or
is it, so you're talking postmillennial, premillennial, or
about the postmillennial?
Okay, stuff. So it's probably just a short. It says a short time, and so really, that's kind of universal a little bit too with premillennialist or postmillennial or amillennial, is that the short time is just a short time. And that's kind of all it's said there, whether it's a month or whatever, you know, a month or a year, however that looks, I guess. Obviously, premillennialists are going to think it looks a lot more physical because actually it does happen physically on Earth, where your amillennialists think it's just going to be just a spiritual thing. Your postmillennialists are also going to think it's spiritual because they're going to think it's spiritual. I think they're just going to think that there's some rebellion at the end. So it's going to be physically happen, but it's not going to look like the premillennialists will say it. You know, it's not going to actually be fire coming down from heaven and devouring them. It's just going to be judgment. And I guess I haven't read in too much on what the postmillennialists think on specifically there. There's really not maybe a lot of stuff. There's probably some stuff out there, but there's really not a lot of stuff about that even in premillennialist writings, because it's just a short time and Satan's devoured, you know, and so it's really not a lot to write about. And how that looks is just it varies a little bit probably depending on who you talk to.
But that points more towards the non-Christian nations that would be affected by that.
Yeah.
So like for the post-millennium idea, it would be few.
Be few.
Because at this point, the majority of the world has become Christians.
Right.
So it'd be just kind of a few.
Minority.
Like a minority or the rebellious.
Right. Yeah, and the premillennialists will think the premillennialists don't think it's all the wicked, but it's just the wicked that are still on earth after the millennium that were born during the millennium, and even some of those who kind of got carried over into it. Because there's not everybody is destroyed in Revelation 19, according to premillennialists, because just the armies of the beasts are destroyed. Even though all the men who dwell on earth during the tribulation are wicked, they're not all a part of the army, which doesn't make sense if you look back at the readings. But that's how the premillennialists will have it, and so they'll have who are born on earth during that time have their free will, and they can rebel. But postmillennialists think it's just a minority that isn't saved at that time.
So really, the premillennialist idea is when you think about all that. Things they have lined up to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think about it physically actually happening, there's some pretty incredible, mind-blowing stuff they expect.
Right.
Like, what does that look like, Satan being loosed on earth and then thrown into the lake of fire? Like,
right.
Like, what does that look like physically happening?
Right.
I mean, it's really out of this world.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, I'm not saying it's not possible.
Right.
I'm not saying God can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really, it's almost kind of a fantasy idea.
It's based, you know, it's literal method of interpretation, except for in extreme cases, and maybe there's some extremeness there. And again, there's not probably a lot written about what that looks like, but it's just that he is able to deceive the nations and destroy, and he's destroyed. But yeah, it's still a lot different looking. And of course, when Jesus returns, it's going to be different than we normally think, anyway.
Right.
But it's still it still is a little bit different looking, and where the post-millennialist, you know, that doesn't, I don't think that's physically happening. It's just there's a rebellion on earth, I think is how they are going to hold to that. Any other comments or questions then? Okay, well, we'll move on to amillennialists next week.